Welcome to Bore Review, where I review not so boring stuff out of my own boredom. Why is it called Bore Review? My name is Bobby. I'm reviewing stuff. Bore Review. I know it sounds stupid when I say Bore Review because it means Bobby review, but let's just go with it. Just don't care about the title. In this first episode, we're going to talk about Beastars, an anime that came out in 2019, produced by Studio Orange and licensed by Netflix. A bit of a disclaimer before I start this podcast, I'm going to go on a tangent. It's not that structured, and it's not that good. This is not the type of podcast that I'm going to look back from 10 years, 10 years from now, feel proud that I've created this. This is most likely going to make me cringe. Not a year, not months, but probably 3 days after I posted this. But, it is what it is. Okay, Beastars. Beastars takes place in a world where there is modern civilized anthropomorphic animal with a division and tension between the carnivores and the herbivores. And I know this screams Zootopia, but trust me guys, this goes way beyond what Zootopia touches on. Because Zootopia kinda limits itself by the fact that it's created by Disney, it limits itself to some, to present this issue, sure, but in a more family-friendly, light-hearted manner. In Beastars, they tackle it in a much more raw and much more upfront manner. They talk about addiction, racial divide, racial tension, violent instincts, and even some sexual tensions between the characters. It's really Zootopia on steroids. In the story, we follow Legoshi, a gray wolf, who is a friend of an alpaca named Tam, who's recently been killed and eaten by his schoolmate. Now, Legoshi has to face the fact that he is a carnivore and has been an object of fear, suspicion throughout his life, made worse by his friend's death due to the fact of him being eaten and such. He tries to survive by laying low and confront the nature that is imposed by his carnivorous tendency and violence, coupled with prejudice against both race, the carnivores and herbivores, plaguing the world. The first thing that you're going to notice when you're watching Beastars is, hey, the fact that it's animated in CG. And I know what you're going to think. CG and anime doesn't really mix well. We're talking about Berserk, we're talking about some scenes in Attack on Titan where it's super duper janky. But I think Beastars kind of sets itself apart. Sure, it's animated in CG, but it's actually good CG, guys. Not all perfect, there are going to be some scenes where the movement feels kind of jaded and such, but for the most part, Beastars benefit from the fact of it being animated in CG. Because CG animation has more freedom when it comes to movement and has more weight when it comes to expression and impact than is animated, right? And Beastars use this to its benefit. When characters are angry, it goes beyond just changing their eyebrow or changing the background to be red and such, but the eyes and the pupil of the characters dilated, for example, the head shift in certain manners that portrays confusion or anger and such, right? When they're excited, their tail wags, when they're sad, the ears move down and such. Knowing the fact that Beastars features anthropomorphic animals, it needs more freedom and requires more movement in its animation for such details. Details that often cannot be reached with 2D animation, or if it were to be reached, most likely will not be as detailed. So, good job on Beastars on using CG to its fullest extent and using CG to its benefit. Not only that, I'm just going to go on a short tangent where I'm talking about the different style that they take with their animation, because with a lot of anime, they tend to stick to one type of animation only, For example, a good example to this is how isekai anime main character, for example, focuses with the same character model as Kirito, right? From Sword Art Online, the character from other isekai most likely fill in that mold. Even good ones like the Rising of Shield Hero kinda has the same, character model as Kirito. Kinda has the same character model. But with Beastars, they take liberty with their animation. It's not only 2D or CG animation, but they shift around. You know, for example, a really good example to this is where one of the characters is having flashback of his traumatic experience, and the flashback, you know, sometimes anime do this and like made the character faces becomes blurry, but it goes way beyond that. The animation becomes, you know, the model of the character becomes blurry, the lining between them and the background gets even more blurred, for example, you know, to show that this is a trauma, an experience that they would like to forget and not a lot of detail that they remember. I think Beastars is one of the few anime where it's art style has purpose as opposed to just looking cool and such, and I really, really do appreciate them, especially in a flashback, because anime has a lot of flashback. I blame Naruto for this, and I call this Naruto syndrome, even though there are, you know, more appropriate name to it, where a bunch of other animation or other anime only uses flashback to where, for example, some sad music will be played, you know, the brightness will go up and there's going to be, you know, some blur or, for example, some, you know, black spots in the animation, that kind of stuff. And then characters do monologues and such, boom, you have your flashback. We're blaming Naruto for this standard. We know it's true. It's obvious that the studio loves to experiment, and having varieties in their art style is always welcome and super rare for anime as opposed to your, you know, typical shonen. Another experiment that they take is the fact that their focus record session is not done in a booth. They don't do it, and they don't animate the anime before the voice acting or before the voice session. They do it, you know, the voice session before the animation. So with Beastars, instead of doing it in the booth, they're doing it in a set where they set up a bunch of mic and let the voice actor act out the scene as opposed to doing it in the booth. I think it's really interesting, and this result to some of the most beautiful voice acting I've ever heard. Characters don't just speak, you know, or be angry or like screams when they're angry or like crying when they're sad and such, but characters has emotion and weight behind every single file dialogue that they say. It really felt real. Instead of getting character crying or screaming, you know, like the guy from Black Clover, you can hear the cracks in their voices, their breath getting heavier. One of the main character, for example, really loves to mumble, and, you know, because of his confident issue, he speaks in a much lower tone and he mumbles a lot. You can feel like this is a guy that has huge confident issues, and like the tone really suits and fits it well. Ironically, a show about anthropomorphic animal has some of the most humane performances I've ever seen. Lastly, in terms of character and plot, there's a reason why for such a long time we did not see any Hollywood movies, you know, being shown or enters the Oscars or the Academy Award. Because, sure, for all of that spectacle and flashiness, in terms of depth and story, Hollywood movie is, well, kind of shallow. They rarely tackles issue that is controversial and focuses on just sheer fun, you know, shut off your brain and have fun watching it. This is the same with anime for most of the time. We have our Naruto, our Boku no Hero Academia, our One Piece, our Black Clover, our Dragon Ball, especially. Whatever it is, you know, as good as some of the story can be, it's most likely just pure spectacles where you shut down your brain, see two guys, you know, throwing energy balls at each other, punching each other, and just have fun. Beastars, one of the few anime that doesn't fit this mold, and does it really well. The character has depth and not one-dimensional. There are reasons why characters are asshole, and there are reasons why characters are super duper nice, and not just some I want to rule the world, or, you know, this world is impure so I must destroy it, that kind of stuff. And sure, it might benefit from the carnivore against herbivore setting where the most heinous guy has a reason to do it out of his will of hunger and his instincts, for example, but it goes beyond that. A good example to this is Beastars sex scene. In conventional and mainstream media, sex scene is treated as a fan service, or an easy way to show that the character has reached this level of intimacy. But with Beastars, they use it as a plot tool, a tool to show the vulnerability of the character, opening up to one another for the first time, a tool to show that they have desire to gain control over someone, a tool to show an awkwardness and distance between a couple, and, you know, their will to fight against their instinct to eat or not be eaten by the others, showing fears and distance. Surprisingly, the sex scenes in Beastars has meanings, and it's really, really beautiful. I know I'm saying that furry sex is beautiful, but I'm not a furry. Again, I am not a furry. Not that there's anything wrong with being a furry, by the way, but, you know, I'm not a furry, guys. It's really that good if you look into it. Apart from that, Beastars has other genres such as murder mysteries, romance, drama, and such. Although the murder mystery is the plot hook, it really takes a back seat, you know, behind the character growth, the romance, and the drama. Because I think in the first season, they really want to set the character up, and they've done a really good job at setting them up. For example, a character that is cocky, bossy, and hates carnivore has their reason to do so. The will and need to be perfect all of the time in order for them to survive as a herbivore. Or a character that tries to fight their instinct to not eat one another has their reason to do so that they would be accepted by other people and such. The systemic racism that happens not because of sheer stupidity, but because out of the fear of herbivores, you know, not wanting to be eaten by the carnivores. Even the goody-two-shoes main characters has his own reason to be nice and to be good, right? They do it explicitly said that he is this nice and all out of his own personal and selfish reason to be nice. I think it's easy to create drama and tension, but it's harder to make drama and tension that make sense. This result in me as an audience being able to empathize to the character. As human, it is easier for me to relate to characters that are flawed in every way, shape, and form. I'm not a person that does kindness out of the sheer will to do so, nor will I be a bad person just because I'm evil and I want to rule the world. And the result of this empathy is you being invested and rooting for the character to grow. So, despite the first season not having a lot of plot hook, not having a really good, you know, progression in terms of plot, because they set up the character so well and so beautifully, you kind of want to get back to the next episode constantly because you care that much about this character. And this goes against everything that I usually believe when it comes to art, you know, entertainment, right? One of the things that I hated the most about mainstream media is the fact that the character is reactive to the plot as opposed to proactive. This means that if events happens out of random occasion and the character progress, not because, you know, they have an active decision that affects the plot, but because character progress because they have to react to the plot. With Beastars, they have this problem, right? The decision of the character made, a lot of the drama that happens doesn't happen because of the consequences of the decision that the character made, but because of some random occasion. But with Beastars, because you're so invested and really want to see this character progress and becomes better, I find myself not minding the fact that they are reactive most of the time. I'm so invested with the character and growth, I find myself on the edge of my seat, biting my nail, hoping that everything would turn out the way I wanted to, and it delivers. It's incredibly ironic that one of the most humane anime that I've ever seen or watched features no human at all. But it is. It's beautiful, and the character really has depth, and an individual that you really want to see grow. So if you're tired with the same old 2D animation or CG animation that is bad, the same old good character with moral values or bad character that is shitty for the sake of, you know, that is bad for the sake of them being bad, Beastars might just be a breath of fresh air for you. Beastars might deliver on all of those disappointments that you had with a bunch of shonen anime. Beastars gets an A star.